What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not magic.
Last summer, there was a huge hype train for Jackson Dart. And Jackson Dart lived up to that hype. And the hype for Jackson Dart is even bigger this year with the pairing now of John Harbaugh as his head coach. We're seeing a similar thing in Jet camp now with their rookie quarterback. To the point where, because I was the one sitting last summer, right around this time period, I took a, part of this was just to, it worked out well, but part of this was to annoy Tiki. But because if you could annoy Tiki, really, you've made it in this business. And I created a sign that said, "Start Dart." I took a piece of paper, a little marker, and put it on my chest, right? And I wore that until day and night in the shower the whole time. And until Jackson Dart was named the starter. Because Russell Wilson stinks. He's washed. It was a useless signing by the Giants. Never should have been here. Jameis Winston was already here with the Giants, signed a few days earlier. The idea of bringing in Russell Wilson and making him the week one starter, to me, made absolutely zero sense. And I believe that Jackson Dart had the pedigree, had the ability, had the maturity, had everything, skill set, to be the day one starter for the Giants. And oh, by the way, I was right. Fast forward a year later, and I think Jet fans want the same type of situation with Cade Klubnik, where they see Geno Smith and they go, "Geno's washed. He's horrible. He is largely responsible for the Raiders having the number one overall pick. He is no longer good. We don't, you know, he had the moments in Seattle. We remember Geno for his bad play with the Jets. We don't want to see him. Backup, fine. That's, you know, veteran leadership, cool. But the guy we want starting week one and beyond is Cade Klubnik." Just like we, you know, just like I was sitting there last year saying, "Start Dart." Now, nothing really rhymes with Cade or Klubnik as far as starting him in week one, so I don't feel like there's going to be a campaign from that perspective with a catchphrase, but I hate to do this, but I got to pour cold water on it. Cade Klubnik stinks. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner you can move on from it. I get it, young quarterback. You want to find Mr. Right. The Jets fan base is, in fact, cursed. You know, Joe Beningo's a clock. Evan Roberts is a candle. You've been waiting years for somebody to come by and break the spell. And one of these years, a young quarterback will walk through the castle doors and break the spell. It just won't be Cade Klubnik. I don't think he's very good. In fact, I think he stinks. The Jets don't. They traded up for him. And the amount of hype that this guy has gotten, like I said, it reminds me very much of Jackson Dart last year, except Jackson Dart was the goods and did deliver. I don't think Cade Klubnik will. I don't. I watched him a lot at Clemson. He's not good. He's not good. And the hype that has surrounded him here in training camp is just outrageous. I was fully supportive of Jackson Dart starting in week one. I'm not with Klubnik. Now, eventually you got to get him out there so that you could see for yourself that he's not any good, and then you can move on. But this entire Jet season, and there's been a lot of Jet optimism. And listen, the Jets have won 11 Super Bowls in the month of July. There's a lot of Jet fans, Jet content creators, Jet fan personalities in our business that are going through the turnstiles, I like to say. Meaning, they sort of swear off the Jets at the end of the year, and then every summer they hype themselves up to be like, "Well, this is our year. This is going to be the Jets' year. They're going to show all this progress." Now, it sounds like I'm being very negative, because I am, but there is positive in the negativity of the Jets. And I do think Aaron Glenn, it's more likely that he's fired by week six than it is the Jets win six games. Next year, meaning this draft upcoming, is going to have a very deep, very rich quarterback class. The Jets have several picks in the first round. The Jets are going to be awful. They're going to win three or four games. They are going to have an opportunity to select one of those quarterbacks. I'm a huge Arch Manning guy, and I know Arch Manning early in the year stunk. Okay, well, it's a full season last time I checked. And down the stretch, probably in his last 5 to 7 games, Arch Manning was terrific. I love Trinidad Chambliss. And I don't think he... So this idea, because this was the sort of narrative that... And it's going to exist once we go around to the draft. But this idea that Dante Moore and Trinidad Chambliss, they saw the Jets sitting there and they said, I'm good. I'm going to go back to college. Well, a couple things. Number one, have you seen the Oregon cheerleaders? They're always a one seed. Same thing with Ole Miss. Also, you get paid in college now. At least we know about it. You know what I mean? These guys are making big money. They can go... I mean, Arch Manning could probably make like 10 mil in Austin and hang around in Austin where it's fun. But like speaking just with Chambliss and Dante Moore, I think you go back to college, you make a bunch of money, and then you go into the draft. Like, I get it. Like, it's probably fun to be at college, fun to be the quarterback of a huge university, and you're making money. Big money, endorsements, the whole deal. So I can understand why they'd want to go back to college, make some scratch, and then try their luck at the pros. But I think Trinidad Chambliss, what I saw throughout really the season, but also in that college football playoff, to me, he made NFL-type plays with his legs, with his arm. I think Arch Manning is the goods, the real deal. And yeah, his last name is Manning. It's not Smith. I understand that. If it was Lou Gower, he wouldn't be getting the publicity he gets. That it helps to be a Manning. But it also hurts him in a sense that there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. But I think he'll be able to deliver because his uncles, especially Eli, were able to handle that pressure and thrive under that pressure. But those are just two guys. There's a litany of quarterbacks that are coming out in this draft. And I think the Jets are going to finally find their guy, their Mr. Right. The person that can break the spell, that could turn Joe Beningo from the clock back into the human form of Joe Beningo. Evan Roberts from a candle back to the human form of Evan Roberts. Although when you look at Evan, he's probably better looking as a candle, but still, they will be freed from this spell. A fireman adds a teacup or whatever. I forget all the other characters in Beauty and the Beast, so you're only going to get three examples there. But the amount of optimism that surrounded the Jets this year is just, I don't see it. I saw enough of Cade Klubnik in college to know he's not any good. The Jets traded up for him, which is, quite frankly, I think a misstep. And people are trying to push him to the front of the line, kind of like I did last year with Dart. And you do need to see Klubnik this year. Absolutely. And we will. Probably pretty quick. Like, my prediction is that by week 6 or 7, Glenn is fired, Geno is benched, Frank Reich's the coach, Klubnik's the quarterback. And this is nothing against Frank Reich or Cade Klubnik, although I am, I guess, in a sense, criticizing them. But I'm saying it because I think that next year they're going to draft a quarterback and they're going to hire a head coach.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters. And we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you're going to hear my Tomlin's name a lot. I've thrown this name out there a bunch. I'll throw it out there again. If the Vikings have a bad year, Kevin O'Connell is going to be fired. And quite frankly, he should. Because getting rid of, and even if it wasn't totally on him, the idea that you get rid of Sam Darnold, he wins a Super Bowl for the likes of J.J. McCarthy, and now, I'm sorry, Kyler Murray is not the answer. And I know O'Connell's kind of been a quarterback whisperer. Good luck. You're not turning Kyler Murray into a guy that's going to the playoffs. At least from my vantage point, you're not. And I think he would be a very interesting name. There's already been sort of rumors and rumblings that they wanted to bring John Gruden into the organization. I think his is a name to look out for the Jets. But I ask yourself that, seriously, because there's anybody that's feeling the hype and thinking the Jets are going to be good, just sit down and really come back down to earth and say, okay, what is more likely? 6 wins or Aaron Glenn getting fired by week 6? It's a coach quarterback league, and the Jets don't have a quarterback. I don't think they have a quarterback, and they have the worst head coach in the league. But you got to slow down on the Klubnik train. I don't think he's going to be the answer. I don't think he's going to be a good pro. He had an awful final year at Clemson. He's Mr. Right now. He's not Mr. Right. Mr. Right's waiting for you at the draft. And the Jets have positioned themselves, and that's a credit to Muji. Like, he has done a really good job of positioning the chess pieces on the board to set the Jets up for success. And I've used the Knicks as an example time and time again. All you heard for years were the Knicks will never win a championship as long as James Dolan owns the Knicks. Well, it wasn't a dream. The Knicks did, in fact, win the championship this year. And in fact, James Dolan still owns the team. So the Jets can win the Super Bowl with Woody Johnson as the owner. But, and it's a big one, it's not, and it's with one T, not two T's like a J-Lo butt. It's one butt, or one T in the butt. You have to hire your Leon Rose, and maybe that is Muji, and you have to find your Jalen Brunson. I don't think Kay Klubnik is Jalen Brunson. Then again, I didn't think Jalen Brunson was Jalen Brunson, but I'm pretty confident in the Kate Klubnik one, though. Nobody thought Jalen Brunson was Jalen Brunson, but I was a detractor, I'll admit. But I can buy and sell Jet positivity 3, 4, 5 years from now. Yes, I think you're just jumping the gun on it. I think you're jumping the gun on it because it is a coach quarterback league, and the Jets are just, I think, severely lacking at both.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love.